Alaska lawmakers will face a challenge when they weigh what to do about the state's criminal justice laws later this month. How to balance a body of research that supports changes they made last year with the outrage about the current rise in crime. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports on the debate.
Crime rates have been rising. In Anchorage, anger over the crime increase has boiled over.
We need to reenact the death penalty.
Quit reviving these addicts. You know, the $100 habit, they steal $1,000 worth of stuff. And they've had some that they've revived five times. This is the natural process of selection. Let them.
When we get to these second, third, and fourth time offenses, I mean, it sounds harsh, but I'm thinking one of those islands out in the Aleutians is looking like a pretty good prison. You want to live in an area of anarchy? Fine. Get out there on that island. You can all just fend for yourselves. We're not going to put guards out there. We're not going to give you food.
That was Ed Larrivee II, Dan Wright, and Leonard Martins at a recent town hall meeting in Anchorage called by Republican Representative Charisse Millett. The residents' comments about the death penalty, letting people die from overdoses, and turning an island into an escape from New York-style prison range pretty far afield from the legislature's policy debate over crime. But they show the level of passion in the city that lawmakers are hearing. The focus of the policy debate is legislation passed last year, Senate Bill 91. It's a law that allowed some low-risk offenders to avoid jail time. It also changed sentencing, bail, and probation with the goal of reducing the number of repeat offenders. In addition, it funds drug treatment. Most categories of serious crime have risen in Alaska over the last 5 years. University of Alaska Anchorage Associate Professor Brad Merstall has looked at whether property crime is related to last year's law. In a word,
no.
Merstall notes that there hasn't been much time to study the law's effects.
I can't say that universal in terms of both property and violent crimes, but I see no evidence in the trend data that I've looked at that would indicate the recent upticks in crime are attributable to the passage of SB 91.
There are other potential factors, like the opioid addiction epidemic, rising unemployment, and shrinking police forces. Millett described what she sees as one result of the law. Police officers face limits in making arrests.
We've taken a tool away from them. So instead of now arresting someone and doing a physical arrest and taking them down to the jail and booking them, they're arresting them by ticket or by citation and then giving them a summons to appear in court.
The law did downgrade drug possession from being a felony to a misdemeanor, so it no longer leads to arrests. But for 142 other types of Class C felonies, the law left arrests to officers' discretion. Merstall says the approach to sentencing under the new law can be difficult for police officers and residents who see jail time as the primary way to hold criminals accountable.
We're talking generations of police officers were trained in their everyday practice is putting people in handcuffs, taking them to the jail, and booking them. And now, for certain offenses, it's not that. And that is a dramatic change in practice.
Merstall says the criminal justice system has multiple goals, including reducing recidivism. That may conflict with another goal, giving people a sense of retribution.
For the past generation, the imprisonment binge that we've been on hasn't been particularly effective, and in many instances may have even been counterproductive to our objectives of fostering public safety and community well-being.
Sean Williams owns an Anchorage DJ business, Five Star Entertainment. He's helped organize other business owners to ask lawmakers to repeal SB 91.
Between burglaries and theft being a daily occurrence, it got a little disheartening.
Williams expresses doubt over the social science used to write the law.
Most people realize that you can make data say what you want it to say.
Others in Anchorage want to see parts of the new law replaced, but not all of it. City Assemblyman Eric Croft has worked as a municipal prosecutor. He says he supports the idea behind criminal justice reform.
This bill, however, took the savings up front and backloaded or didn't fund at all the treatment and probation.
Suzanne DiPietro worked with the Alaska Criminal Justice Commission as it made the recommendations that helped shape Senate Bill 91. Like Croft, DiPietro says it may have been better to increase drug treatment before passing the law. But, she says, the law creates a framework to fund treatment.
Before SB 91, there was no promise or plan or schedule for investment in treatment. And post-SB 91, we have a framework of a commitment for 6 years out of reinvestment.
DiPietro notes the law still isn't fully implemented. Parts of Senate Bill 91 went into effect in July 2016, other parts went into effect in January, and the rest won't go into effect until this coming January.
We really need to stop and take a small pause and analyze the situation and come up with approaches that will work for the problems that we have. And we just don't have the resources to throw everything at the wall and see what sticks.
Governor Bill Walker has asked the legislature to pass a bill that would partially reverse some of the changes made last year. A large change would be to Class C felonies. Before last year, these crimes would lead to jail terms of up to 2 years. Senate Bill 91 changed that to up to 18 months of probation. The bill that Walker placed on the agenda for the legislature's special session that starts on October 23rd would reintroduce jail sentences for C felonies of up to 1 year. The Alaska Criminal Justice Commission recommended shorter jail terms of up to 90 days. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.